from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It's E-Town with this week's guest, originally from central New York and now living in Los Angeles, Willie Watson. Historian, author, and professor Patty Limerick. And from Winnipeg, Canada, the Wailing Jennies. I'm Helen Forrester. Join me in welcoming Nick Forrester.
Thank you, Ellen. Thanks, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to E-Town Hall. Whenever it seems like we're drifting into sort of uncharted territory as a culture or as a nation or as a community, the odds are that it's not really uncharted territory because there are events and pieces and parts of things that happened before that can kind of help us sort things out. We can, in fact, learn from history. So Willie Watson is here. He's now put out two records of folk songs, old songs, that speak to him and his audience, and he's here to play some of those songs. Professor Patty Limerick is here, both as an historian and a college professor, so she sees both what has already happened and what's kind of happening through the eyes of her students. And our first guests are sort of in that same process of taking what's old and learning from it and making it their own. So all that stuff is going on with this week's program. You all may know that the Wailing Jennies got their start in Winnipeg, in Canada, when there was a kind of a casual show at a music store. That was in 2002. They have been recording and touring and performing all over the place since then. They have something really, really special. They've got three voices that sound just like they were made for each other. They are also really good instrumentalists. They've got some old songs and some relatively new songs that are written by other people. And so these guys are in some ways both alchemists and historians too, and they make a beautiful sound. So help me please welcome to the stage for their first ever time on E-Town, the Wailing Jennies.
Thank you. resumed everything. Thank you. It's so great to be here. That was a song that the lovely Heather Massey wrote called Birdsong. And now we're going to do a fairly new one for the band. You might just recognize it.
When I was a little girl and the devil would call my name and I say, who do you think you're fooling? I'm a consecrated girl. Ooh. I'm a singer in a Sunday choir. Oh, my mama loves me. She loves me. She gets down on her knees and hugs me. Yeah, she loves me like a rock. She rocks me like the rock of ages. She loves me. She loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. When I was grown to be a woman and the devil would call my name and I say, who do you think you're fooling?
Fooling.
I'm a consecrated good one.
Ooh.
I could snatch a little purity. My mama loves me. She loves me. She gets down on her knees and hugs me. Yeah, she loves me like a rock. She rocks me like the rock of ages. She loves me. She loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. If I was the president,
was the president,
and the Congress called my name,
was the president,
and I say,
who do you think you're fooling? Was the president?
I got the presidential seal.
Ooh, I'm up on the presidential podium. My mama loves me. She loves me. She gets down on her knees and hugs me. Yeah, she loves me like a rock. Ooh, she rocks me like the rock of ages. She loves me. She loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. She loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. She loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to hear you sing and play, and it's been way too long that we've waited for this to happen. I'm glad it has finally.
Oh, thank you.
Us too.
And that Paul Simon tune is one among many from your latest effort, 15. Whole bunch of different songwriters on there, old songs, new songs, but lots of contemporary songwriters.
Yes.
Warren Zevon, Tom Petty, Emmylou Harris, Patti Griffin, and others. How did you choose the tunes for the new record?
Well, a few we'd been playing for a while. I think about four of them were ones we'd been singing for quite a while. And then the new ones were just anything that any of us found really touched us and really impacted yeah. us and we felt would be good as a genified song.
Genification of these songs. The Dolly Parton song worked fine, being genified. So I want to talk a little bit about that very first show in 2002 at the Music Store in Winnipeg. You need to kind of be coerced, right? The guy who ran the Music Store was sort of like, come on, do more of this, right?
He encouraged us by giving us our name, actually. He said, you guys are going to become a band for sure. You need a name. And that show did sell out really fast, so we added another show, and then that sold out, and then we started getting requests to come and play shows
yeah.
all over Canada, really, that following summer. So it was a lot of fun. We were, you know, pretty green and just really doing it for the love of it. And that's the kind of magical feeling you want at the start of something.
And what's so cool is throughout your now 16 years together, you've been able to hang on to your audience too, that shares in that cool feeling of discovery and connection. And Heather, of course, has been in the band now for 11 years or something like that. So
yes.
The majority of the time. Let me ask you about when you first sang with Heather, because it seems like you were just kind of made to sing together. So when the three of you got together for the first time, was that sort of one of those aha moments?
It was. It was. I went to meet them. We were in Philadelphia. They were playing a show with their previous member. And so we got together in the handicapped women's bathroom. And I think we sang Amazing Grace or something. And yeah, I felt like singing with my sisters. And we all had that feeling. So it was sort of made to be.
Well, it sure sounds good. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to E-Town. I'm here with the Whale and Jennies. I should probably pause and wonder, I don't know if are we breaking any new trade rules with all these Canadians on stage and stuff? I don't know. Is there some... I'm willing to pay the fine, actually, you know. I just couldn't care less. There is a lot involved with keeping a band together and having a team. Players and agents and managers and just the whole logistics of touring. And then you three chose to add to that complexity by all three of you having kids. So how's that affect your genification?
Well, we've taken a few hiatuses off the road against our agents' wishes. But, you know, we've always really prized our own lives outside of the band, and that's served us well. So yeah, we've taken breaks off the road to procreate, as you say. And so now we are all, yes, we have the children. The children are here.
Yeah. And I will say that one of the cool things that I noticed, because I went to see your show 9 months ago or 10 months ago in Boulder at the Boulder Theater, and your fans have stuck with you fiercely through those hiatuses.
Hiati.
Or whatever it is. But it's pretty cool. I mean, that's a real testament to your sort of the emotional range and depth that you bring to the shows. And folks, they just love you. It's cool.
Mm. We're very lucky.
I have to say, your record, listening to it a few times, it kind of fits every mood. So if you have an opportunity to check out their new music, the record is called 15. The artist, again, is the Whale and Jennies. And the songs sound great. You all sound great. Aww.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's get back to music. Welcome back, if you would, the Whale and Jennies.
The sun burned hot, burned my eyes. Burned so hot, I thought I'd die. Thought I'd died and gone to hell. Looking for the water from a deeper well. To the river, but the river was dry. Fell to my knees and looked to the sky. Looked to the sky and the spring rain fell. Saw the water from a deeper well. Well, looked for the water from a deeper well. Well, looked for the water from a deeper well. I was ready for the love, I was ready for the money. For the blood and ready for the honey. Ready for the wind and ready for the bell. Looking for the water from a deep blue well. Found some blood, I found some money. Found that blood would drip from my honey. Found I had a thirst that I could not quell. Looking for the water from a deep blue well. Looking for the water from a deep blue well. Well, I did it for kicks and I did it for cake. Did it for lust and I did it for hate. Did it for need and I did it for love. Addiction stayed on tight like a glove. So I ran with the moon and I ran with the night. And the three of us were a terrible sight. To the bottle, to the gun, to the cell. To the bottom of the hole of a deep blue well. Deep blue well. Hey, 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 hey. trail, reaching out a hand for a hole in the ground. Hey there, mama, did you care? Hello, did you tell your baby about the bend in the road, about the rebel yell, about the one that fell, looking for the water from a deeper well?
Jenny's. It's Ruth Moody on vocals, guitar, banjo, and boron. Heather Massey on vocals and bass. Mickey Maida on vocals, guitar, percussion, boron. Richard Moody on the viola and violin. And Adam Dobrik on the guitar and mandolin. Their record is called 15 out on Red House Records. They'll be back. Play some more music later on in the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. By Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses with its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at Zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. And by our diverse family of NPR affiliates and community stations, plus college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. Thank you for your continued support. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. The Waylon Jennies are going to be back later on. And coming up, Willie Watson is here to play some songs from his latest record, Folk Singer Volume 2. Before we bring him out, though, you know, every week in amongst the music, we share stories of people who have inspired others by doing remarkable things in their own communities and beyond. We've been doing this ever since we started back in 1991 because it's both fun to learn new stuff and we all need some good news occasionally. So we have been providing that service all these years. And here comes Helen to tell you about this week's guest.
Thank you, Nick. Patty Limerick has been with us here on E-Town before, but she continues to expand her role both here in Colorado and in the larger community in and out of academia. She is, among many other things, an American historian, an author, a lecturer, and a teacher. She's currently a professor at the University of Colorado. Prior to that, she taught at Harvard and Yale. She's been awarded a MacArthur Fellowship. She's the author of a landmark book titled The Legacy of Conquest. And she's recently become the State Historian of Colorado. Pretty impressive, huh? But let me tell you this. She's also really fun. So please welcome back to E-Town, Patty Limerick.
Patty, welcome back. Good to see you.
It is so excellent to be here. Thank you.
You're here, I think, because it feels like a good time to sort of step back and think about history. There are some wacky things going on, unprecedented things in some ways, but as an historian, I suspect there are really not that many things that are totally unprecedented. For example, we seem to be in a tizzy about immigration, certainly in this part of the country. In the western part of the United States, that's nothing new.
Right.
Maybe you could remind our listeners about who the real immigrants are around here.
That's going to take quite a long time. That's really, do we have several days to go through that? Well, obviously, there were some folks who were here for a very long haul, Indian people, and I don't know that I would have them in that category,
no.
But they were certainly mobile and dynamic and not frozen in place waiting for white folks to show up. So there's a lot of activity going on before our people, I might just call them that, came into the picture.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, people came from every imaginable starting point on the planet.
Yeah.
Just name a place. And the California Gold Rush was certainly one of those kinds of occasions where everybody showed up. But before that, the Spanish Empire, the French trappers, the Russians, the British. So people did come from every starting point on the planet. And the people coming into Western North America from every starting point spent a lot more time talking with each other, trading with each other. Well, I have to say this, sleeping with each other. Well, procreating is what we've had from the earlier guests as a good phrase there. So they did all of that a lot more than they spent fighting, injuring, killing each other.
Including learning languages and sharing the ability to communicate. And,
every significant transaction in Western American history, the key figure in many of those was the interpreter, the translator. Those are figures that any kind of occasion between Indian people and white people, or sometimes between tribes, they are almost unwritten about and unnoticed in Western American history. And the importance of translators and interpreters has not gone away.
But it speaks to another kind of translation, which is the sort of intransigence and the fear and the disinterest in learning about other cultures and other countries and other languages and so on. Just the bridge between these two camps, one that's sort of fearful, and I'm not sure what the fear is about. Is there a fear that newcomers won't assimilate or won't communicate or won't fit in, or that they'll... What's the fear all about?
In Western history, on some occasions, it might be easier to move our minds in the direction of the fearful. I'm going to go with white workers in California after the gold rush, who were in California with such a sense of opportunity that they were going to go to this place and wonderful things would happen. By the time they got there in the 1870s, the opportunities were really very constrained, and they found themselves as wage workers for railroad companies, and it was a terrible twist on high expectations and deep disappointment.
Because those jobs were taken by Chinese immigrants?
No, well,
or because...
see, that's the thing, is that they found themselves constrained in their opportunities. They could have directed that rage at the companies, at the employers, or they could have found a scapegoat. And indeed, that turned out to be the easier path of emotion, to say, the Chinese must go. They had understandable sense that they had tried something, they had taken risks. If they had been there 20 years earlier for the gold rush, they might have had something to come of that. So people experiencing frustration, despair, and not having the moment, the desire, the guidance, the patience, the inquiry to say, what's going on here? What happened to me? It's very tempting to say, it's those guys.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's going on.
Right.
Hey, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to E-Town. I'm here with Patty Limerick. I want to ask you just about this opportunity you have as a professor, because you come in contact with young people all the time, and yet you've got this long view as an historian. So you've got this great sort of perspective where you can see these sort of both sides of what's really going on, and many people are in one or the other camp. So tell me what's on the minds of your students these days. What are they concerned about?
They certainly are thinking about environmental issues. They certainly are thinking about climate change and water allocation and adjustments to drought and scarcity. Depending on their circumstances, they may be thinking about wildlands fire. They're thinking about a whole bunch of issues. Energy, good heavens, energy is a very big, big thing for them. And with immigration, I know that this last semester, what I just thought is that I am through talking about education just for the soul. Not that I ever did much of that, but we were just flat out and saying, we are teaching you skills that will get you the jobs that you want. And that turned out to be really good, because teaching them to write better didn't instantly please them. But we could say, and we had many people to back us up on that, this will make a difference in your getting jobs and retaining jobs and so on. So I guess I might have been doing that just to say, I understand anxiety over careers and jobs, and I want to have my students as equipped as possible so that they never have to think, who's the scapegoat that kept me from getting what I wanted?
Yeah. That's a lovely sort of full circle to our little time together, Patty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks once again, Professor Patty Limerick, historian, author, lecturer, MacArthur Fellow. Thanks, Patty.
To our listeners, if you want to find out more about Patty Limerick, you can visit our website at etown.org. Feel free to take a moment and send us your feedback and comments about this segment or the show in general. You can connect with us through Twitter or Facebook, or you can also write to us the old-fashioned way at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Patty Limerick, helping us understand some stuff. Facts, they're good, we like them. So we've got more music coming up from the Waylon Jennies in a little while. Right now, I want to tell you about our next guest. Willie Watson grew up in the Finger Lakes region of New York, kind of around Watkins Glen and then in and around Ithaca. He saw bands like the Horseflies and the Highwood String Band and Donna the Buffalo when he was a kid. And in the midst of a serious old-time scene, these bands would sometimes combine old string band music with drums and electric guitars and create something that was both hypnotic and very danceable and a kind of contemporary folk music. And he wanted in. So he dropped out of high school, started a band called The Funnest Game, and they toured all over the place when he was, I think, still 16. And pretty soon, some other musicians moved to Ithaca, and it wasn't long before a new band was formed. The Old Crow Medicine Show got together in 1998 and began touring around Canada. You remember Canada? We've been talking about Canada. And the band eventually settled in Boone, North Carolina, and that led to an encounter with Doc Watson, who used to busk on the street on the same corner where the Old Crow guys were busking, and Doc heard them and said, "Man, you guys have to come and play my festival, Merle Fest, in honor of my late son." And at that festival, that led to an encounter with Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, which led the band to move to Nashville, and so on. And Willie was a founding member of that band and participated in all that stuff. Then in 2011, he went out on his own and has been touring and recording ever since. He's now based in L.A. He's just released Folk Singer Volume 2, a collection of old songs produced with his buddy Dave Rawlings, and features Gillian Welch is on there, and as is the Fairfield Four, one of my favorite gospel groups from down in Nashville. Anyway, he's had an interesting journey already, and it's still early on. We're really happy he's here. Please welcome to E-Town, also for his first visit, Willie Watson.
Thank you. don't want no cornbread and molasses. I don't want no cornbread and molasses. It hurts my pride. It's my pride. So take this hammer, yeah. Get to the captain. Ha! Take this hammer. Ha! Get to the captain.
Thank you so much, folks. It's a pleasure to be here at E-Town. After hearing Dr. Limerick, I'm not feeling like the most intelligent person. But I play banjo, so it's okay.
I think I see my father coming way across the sea. Father, did you bring me silver? Father, did you bring some gold? What did you bring me, dear father, to keep me from the gallows pole? I didn't bring no silver, I didn't bring no gold. I come to see you hanging from the gallows pole. So wait a little while, hangman, wait a little while and see. I think I see my mother coming way across the sea. Mother, did you bring me silver? Mother, did you bring some gold? Or did you come to see me hanging from the gallows pole? No, I didn't bring no silver. I didn't bring no gold. I come to see you swinging from the gallows pole. Yeah. You're swinging, yes, from the gallows pole. Yes, you're swinging, yes, from the gallows while. I think I see my own true lover riding many miles. So, lover, did you bring me silver? Lover, did you bring some gold? Did you come to see me hanging from the gallows pole? Oh, yes, I brought you silver, and I brought a little gold. I brought a little of everything to keep you from the gallows pole. Yes, I brought it. Yes, to keep you from the gallows pole. Yes, I brought it. Yes, to keep you from the gallows pole.
Thank you.
Willie Watson, welcome to E-Town. Thanks. So good to hear you sing. You're such a distinctive singer. Did you decide at some point that you were going to sing high? Sing high notes. Yeah.
When I got to Boulder, I thought I might try to sing high. Something I noticed around here. It sort of came natural. I started listening to Neil Young at a pretty early age, and he sang real high. So those were the first songs I learned, Needle in the Damage Done and Pocahontas and Hey, Hey, My, My. So it's sort of where I started out. Yeah. I didn't know any different.
I mentioned the music scene in Ithaca, New York, and it's a remarkably vibrant music scene in that part of the world that most people aren't aware of. I'm trying to think of you going to those shows, you know, with the Horseflies.
Horseflies, big inspiration for me. Yeah. My dad was a music fan. He didn't play anything, but he was an avid listener and music lover. Mm-hmm. He was from Ireland, and he was a big fan of old traditional fiddle music and everything. So he introduced me into that stuff. When he saw that I was into Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan and the folky scene, he took me out around town, and we went to some Irish pubs, and I also went to a Horsefly shows, and I saw Richie Stearns and Judy Hyman, and Judy was, she kind of does this headbang thing when she plays, and her eyes roll back into her head. And I thought that was the coolest thing at like, you know.
See, not every teenager gets to have that experience of the collision of the two worlds, like headbanging, you know, electric trance music and fiddles, you know.
It all came together right there.
And I mentioned your early band, and I'm assuming that was probably, you know, my guess is that you would have been trying to emulate that sound in some way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Horseflies were a big influence on that band. It's funny that you mentioned that no one knows about the Funnest Game.
The Funnest Game.
And that name, it was actually a game that we made up.
Wow.
So it started with snow and snowballs, or maybe ice blocks. And you just stand in a circle and throw something in the air and hope it doesn't hit you.
That was the funnest
game.
There
was a lot of weed in Ithaca, too.
Yeah. we should mention that the music scene is both an antidote to and a reflection of the fact that the weather is pretty rough in Ithaca. So I think people get to spend a lot of time in the wintertime practicing.
Absolutely. It's like 8 months of winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a trip.
And so it must have been an amazing experience when the early incarnation of Old Crow Medicine Show got together, and you've got some buddies, and you had some kindred spirits and shared interests, and you decided to travel.
Yeah, well, when I met those guys, Ketch and Critter, they came up from the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. They were from Harrisonburg, Virginia. We got the rest of the guys together, and we went to Canada, played street corners, ended up in Ottawa for a while.
Right.
And we couldn't get across the border because they wouldn't let us, so we had to go to the Mohawk Reservation to get across.
So you're part of this whole immigration conversation,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. That's all I was thinking about back there. So the first day in Ottawa, we played at the farmer's market and made $800 Canadian. And
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And thought we'd just keep on going west.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And that story about about meeting Doc Watson in Boone, North Carolina, that's just a legend that couldn't have been scripted more generously for you guys.
It was
right?
One of those right place, right time things. That was the story of that band. Any good things that happened sort of came from just being in the right place at the right time.
It's amazing. So you rode that wave, you played big venues, playing on the Grand Ole Opry, doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then struck out on your own. Do you miss the infrastructure of having people help you carry stuff and set stuff up and tune your instruments and
Absolutely.
All that?
Yeah. I got these heavy guitar cases and everything starts hurting my shoulders. I'm way too important for that.
It's also interesting because not everybody who's been in a band can do the solo thing.
I didn't know I could do it, and I didn't think I could.
Yeah.
I was so used to being in the band, and being in a band was what I'd always wanted.
Yeah.
Having that camaraderie and having my gang of guys.
Yeah.
There was a learning curve for sure, and I was so scared.
Yeah.
But it just took a few shows,
right,
being up there on stage and having people tell me that it was good.
Yeah.
It gave me the confidence I needed to go on, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think you've chosen well, and you've captured something that I think is just a remarkable sound. Great, great energy to those songs, so congratulations.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Well, let's get back to more music. Welcome back, if you would, Willie Watson.
Thank you. Well, all right, let's liven things up a little bit here. We're gonna bring out Nick and Helen and the E-Tones. Come on out, fellas. Singing an old song I heard on a Memphis jug band record. Well, no, actually, I heard the Grateful Dead do it first. And then years later, realized that they didn't write that song. 2, 3, 4.
The record is called Folk Singer Volume 2, along with E-Tones, Ron Jolly, Christian Teal, Paul McDaniel on the bass, Helen Forster.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by the way, if you missed some of this week's show, feel free to check out the E-Town podcast, where you will find this episode and others, along with tons of off-air content, such as songs and interviews and conversations from the E-Town archives. The podcast is available for free in iTunes, Google Play, and other podcast directories. You're listening to E-Town.
Nick Forster, I'd like to say hello to our listeners who hear E-Town on stations like KDTR, Trail 103.3 in Missoula, Montana. Thanks for tuning in. And on WUTK in Knoxville, Tennessee. And on KDRIP, KDRP Sun Radio in Austin and Dripping Springs, Texas. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, if you want more information about any of our guests this week, you want to see photos of just exactly what Willie Watson's banjo looks like, those images are available online at etown.org. You can also find out about how to get tickets to live shows and all that stuff is on there. So we've covered some ground. You guys holding up all right? All right. Okay. We've had some modern covers sung in ridiculously beautiful harmony. We've had a chat about the real story, the facts about immigration and not the sort of fear-mongering stuff that actually is fake news, as it turns out. We have heard some classic songs and some folk songs sung with great verve and energy, and we're not done yet. Would you please help me welcome back to the stage the Waylon Jennies?
Thanks so much to everyone at E-Town for having us. We've had such a blast. We're going to send this song out for peace, and please do join us if you know it. It's called One Voice.
This is the sound of one voice. One people, one voice. A song for every one of us. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound.
So beautiful. That's the Waylon Jennings, Ruth Moody, Heather Massey, Nikki Maida, along with Richard Moody and Adam Dobray. The Waylon Jennings. The record is called 15. We've got time for one more song. I'm going to get everybody out here on stage for this last number. I want to thank all our guests this week. Thanks, of course, to the Waylon Jennings for coming out from Winnipeg and other parts, New York, to be part here, part of our program, Victoria and Vancouver Island and others. I want to thank Willie Watson coming out from LA and sharing his new old songs with us. Thanks to historian, professor, and author Patty Limerick for really helping us bring everything together. Thanks to the house band, the E-Tones, Helen Forster. Here's an old Ralph Stanley song that we've got a brand new take on. Thanks to all of you for joining us. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can be with us next week right here in E-Town.
When you go walking after midnight over all the wrong side of town, walk down any street. Souls wandering out in darkness, whose place in life they'll never find, wandering so aimless and hopelessly, whose lives are broken like mine. When you walking after midnight over on the wrong side of town, walk down in a street many lost souls you meet, whose lives are broken like
E-Town's produced by a donor-supported nonprofit organization. To make an Achievement Award nomination or comment on the show in general, feel free to visit our website, etown.org, or contact us through Twitter or our two Facebook pages. Distribution of E-Town is made possible by our family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
Thank God you got a home to go to. You are. You are.
Waylon Jennings. Willie Watson. House band, Helen. Engineers, volunteers, all our staff and crew. All of you guys, thank you.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.